Get your Bible, if you will. And now, I don't know everything, but I know a few things. And I know that the Bible teaches us that God wants us to have some joy. So turn to Zephaniah chapter 3. Zephaniah chapter 3. And while you're hunting that, because I know it's going to take you a while to find it, I wanted to remind you now, in Sunday school, we're teaching in the adult class about what it means. We talked about the local church and where it came from, and now we're talking about what it means, our obligation to the local church. So don't miss Sunday school. A lot of people know nothing about it. Invite people to Sunday school, okay? Get some of these brochures up here and give them out. Everywhere you go, leave one of these things, okay? And I had a lady come in one time. I said, "Who invited you?" She said, "Nobody." I said, "How'd you know about this place?" She said, "Well, somebody went through my apartment complex and put one of these little things on everybody's door but mine." And she said, "My next door neighbor had moved, so that stayed in that door, and it stayed in that door. And every time I walked by, I thought, why didn't they put one on my door? Don't know if I even live there." And she said, "So I got that one, and I read it, and here I am." She never came back. But she came. I had another lady, I said, "Who invited you?" She said, "Every time I'd get on the elevator at the hospital, I'd see one of these little brochures from your church. So finally I got one and read it, and here I am." I said, "Well, good. Thanks for coming." And so you never know. Somebody told me they found one at the gas pumps. I always take one. They got those advertisements up above the gas tank, you know. And I always stick one in each corner. I stick one of those in each corner. So get them out the hall. We got a bunch of tracts and brochures and stuff. Just if you don't do but one or two a week, that just think if everybody did two a week, okay? Say 100 people did two a week. My goodness, we could have a lot going on there. All right. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing." Now, we talk about us having joy, and God gives us joy. But, you know, we give him joy. Amen. We give God joy. And I want to talk to you for just a few minutes tonight about how we give God joy. Amen? Now, many times I've preached on how the Lord gives us joy. The joy of the Lord's our strength, the Bible says. And we need that. We've got to have that. You know, God has to give us joy to keep us going. But, you know, God gets joy over us. Now, think about that. Think about that, young man, how God gets joy over you. I mean, I understand how I can get joy over him, but I look at me in the mirror and I wonder, my goodness, how could God get any joy out of that? Amen? Especially in the morning, you know. I'm one of those people that don't get up and say, "Good morning, Lord." I get up and say, "Good Lord, this morning." Drag myself out of bed. But then after I take my shower, I look in the mirror and I say, "What a man. What a man." Amen. Don't all you men do that? Amen. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. And but God gets joy. Of course, we know he gets joy over us about our repentance. That gives God joy. We know that God gets joy out of our faith, even though he had to give us the faith. We know that gives God joy that we have faith in him. We know that God gets joy out of our prayers. God desires to hear our prayers. It gives him joy for those things to come up before him in heaven. And we know all that. But you know what else we know? Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. I just want to encourage you a little bit. It's not quite New Year's and it's Christmas past. We're all the ghost of Christmas past. Everybody in here, and some of you look like it. We're the ghost of Christmas past. Old Dead Marley. You remember Dead Marley? Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Look at verse 9. "And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy land, for good, For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. Did you know, because of our repentance and our faith and because of our prayer, that leads him to rejoice over our prosperity? God blesses us. Hey, if you got up and you got something to eat today, you had to look up to heaven and say, all good gifts comes from the Father above. All good gifts come from him. If anybody did anything good for you over the holidays, Santa Claus didn't do that. God did that. You know why he did that? He got joy out of that. God gets joy out of giving us stuff. Amen. I got a car. He gave it to me. He got joy giving me that car. Amen. I got a house. He gave it to me. And he got joy of giving it to me. You know, I know that because he's my father. And did you know I gave my kids some presents this year? And I got joy over giving those presents. You know, it costs a lot of money, but I still got joy out of it. Just see how happy it made them. Amen? Come on, help me. A father rejoices over being able to bless his children. The saddest men in this country this past week were the men that could not give their children something. That was it. And look, did you know it's more blessed to give than is received? Yes. Don't you think that God's more blessed than we are? And he gets a blessing of giving us cattle, he says, and farms and lands and houses. He gives you children, he says. Tony knows all about that. He gives you children, and he gives you grandchildren. Amen. Brother Danny said he called his grandchildren up to get their picture taken for Christmas this past week, and said he has, what, 9 grandchildren? And how many showed up at the picture?
18.
18 showed up at the picture. Yeah, 9 grandchildren, he didn't know nothing about. The Lord blessing him, and God, hey, listen, God gets joy out of that picture. Every time God looks at that picture, he said, look what I did for that dummy. Amen. He blessed us, amen. And what a blessing is that God would prosper us. He prospers us. Now, some of y'all, I don't know if you, when you was growing up, you ever heard this, but it used to be we'd say, man, I ain't got 2 nickels rubbed together. You remember that? You ever said that? I ain't got 2 nickels rubbed together? And I ain't going to tell you about the proverbial pot we didn't have. And you had to be from the South to know about that one. You know about that proverbial pot? Apparently not. Apparently not. You want me to tell him? Amen. I'm going to preach the Bible whether you want to hear it or not. Amen. If you had an outhouse, you didn't go out there at night. You had a pot. And some people so poor didn't even have a pot. And some people so poor didn't even have an outhouse. All they had was a path. Amen. I'm going to preach the Bible. That's in the King James Bible. You know that, don't you? Amen. But God, hey, God gets joy over prospering us. He doesn't get any joy out of people living under a cardboard box somewhere. God wants to bless his children. And look, if we're not blessed, it's not his fault. It's our fault. We're doing something to hinder God from doing what he wants to do, and that's get joy out of our lives and to give us what we need. He shall supply all you need from his riches and glory. That gives him joy. That's not a chore to him. That's joy to him that he supplies our needs. Amen. That's enough to make a Methodist get baptized. It's enough to make a Methodist lead the choir. Amen, Brother Holroyd. He gives you a Baptist church. Amen. Amen. Y'all pray for Holroyd. I introduced him to Peter Ruckman book the other day. He's going to go crazy. But anyway, 2 Samuel chapter 22. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 22. I want you to show you something else that God gets joy out of you about, okay? In 2 Samuel chapter 22, and most of you know this story. I'm not going to get into the story, but chapter 22, verse 20. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The black folks sometimes, the preachers will say, we live in large. That's what they're talking about, that verse right there, when we live in large. They're not talking about pant size or dress size or shoe size. They're talking about God has abundantly blessed them in things and stuff or whatever they need. And so God gets a blessing. He gets joy out of letting us have what we need and delivering us and giving us what we need in the place of what we have. Now, David had a lot of things, but a lot of what he had was trouble. And God delivered him out of his troubles. And I know a lot of people have a lot of stuff, but sometimes God has to take the stuff and deliver them so he can give them what they need. And then when they get what they need, he delights in that when you get what you need. God gets no joy out of denying us of what we need. He wants you, like the verse says, live in a large place. Live in a large place. They took that NIV, and that I think it was that homosexual woman that helped translate it. They took in my father's house are many mansions. They took it in and said, in my father's house are many rooms. I said, I don't need no stinking room. I've had a room. I want my mansion. Amen. I want my large place. I don't need a tiny room. I want my large place. Amen. And did you know that it's not wrong to ask for that, because God delights in it when I get the large place, when he puts me where he wants me to be enlarged. Amen. And boy, we can go everywhere on that. Your family, your finances, your health, your property, everything. God gets joy. It says he delighted himself doing that. Now, don't feel guilty when God gives you something and he's taking care of you, because God did that and it's in his will and he gets delight out of it. Now, if you're out of his will, don't get mad if he doesn't do it and he does it for somebody else. Woman sent me a message on Facebook, spoken of the Bible. She said, me and my friends having this argument, does God have favorites? I sent her a message back and said, yes, ma'am, God does have favorites. Those who obey him, he blesses them. He takes care of them. He watches over them. He gives them extra blessings. Obedience, amen, is the path to blessing. God doesn't bless the disobedient child. He chastens that child. So does God have favorites? Yes, he does. Those who stay in his will, those are the ones that he delights in blessing. Now, he'll save you and he'll keep you, but he delights in those that he can really be a part of their life and help them. Amen. A lot of people get saved and then they just, well, okay, I'm saved. Yeah. And they don't live for God. They don't even try. They make no commitments. They hardly ever go to church. They show up on Christmas and Easter, you know, the Easter lilies and the poinsettias, you know, they show up. And they're real pretty, but God can't bless them the way he wants to because they're living in disobedience. Yeah. They got habits and friends and everything else that God doesn't approve of. And so God delights in that. And sometimes parents will want to help their children and can't because of the situation their children's in. Sometimes a pastor will have church members, Brother Tony, you'll say amen this, that we want to help, but we can't because of the situation they're in. And we want to. It delights a parent to do that. It delights a father to enlarge his children's place. It delights a pastor to enlarge his flock's place. But sometimes we hinder him doing that. And don't sit there with a halo over your head. You've blocked blessings yourself. Amen. Amen. Then when you finally realize you got right with God, but it might have been too late on that one, but he blessed you somewhere else. It delights him, it says that, to enlarge our place, to help us, to give us what we need. Now, I don't know about you, but that makes me feel better. A lot of Baptist preachers, you go to a church and it's, woe is me, poor pitiful us. Oh me, oh my, world's going to hell in a handbasket, and we can't do nothing, and we're just pitiful old Christians, and we can't get nothing, we can't do nothing, we can't go. Oh, shut your mouth. That ain't the same thing that the Bible says. Amen. And then when God starts blessing you, they want to criticize you. They want to say, wonder where they got that. You drive up to church one day in a nice car where you're driving that jalopy, and all of them look at you and say, I bet they ain't tithing. Don't tell me they don't do that. I know they do. Amen. They come to church in their new Christmas clothes and looks real nice. And they say, I wonder how much they paid for that. And they're jealous. They're jealous. But see, when God starts blessing you, you don't have to whine no more. God will give you what you need. Amen. And boy, he took care of me. He's took care of me. You just wouldn't believe where I come from. I tell you what, one day I'm going to give a tour where I come from. But I don't want to give a tour where we came from. Wouldn't that be something? Take some pictures and show them our mission project. God's mission project on us. Yeah, and say, let me show you where I grew up. Let me show you where we moved next. Let me show you where we moved next. Let me show you what we lived in. Let me show you this crowd I run with. Amen. And then God, people will say, well, praise God, he has enlarged them. Amen. Yes. Amen. 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 Some of y'all better start shouting. Isaiah 65:19, if you will. I'm talking about God getting joy out of us. Now, we get joy out of God. And I said, God gets joy with our repentance, and he gets joy with our faith, and he gets joy whenever we do right and we join the church and things like that. But there's a lot of other reasons that God gets joy out of us. Isaiah 65:19. God says, and I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Boy, I like that. Did you know that God gets joy out of comfort in his people? God gets joy out of that. Don't ever be ashamed of crying or being sorrowful or being hurt. And don't ever be ashamed of weeping, because that's when God wants to bless you and make himself known, so that other people will say, man, I didn't think they'd ever come out of that. And you have the joy of the Lord again, and God does that for you. And then God gets joy out of delivering you from those heartaches and those heartbreaks. Amen. Come on, help me. Yes. If you ever had one, you know what I'm talking about. God will bring you through that. And then when he does, and you get out on the other side of that darkness, and you come out into the light, people look over there, and it's a testimony to them. And God gets joy out of that, see. God gets joy out of comfort in you. I went to Mama's grave the other day and put some flowers on. It was tough. First Christmas without your mom. And I felt God. Yes. And I prayed. And did you know God got joy out of drying my tears that day? I can't think of no greater job for a parent to do than to take their child and to comfort them in a time of trouble. Well, it don't feel good whenever you get to take one of your children and just wrap your arm around them and pet them and say, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. You'll be better. I promise you it's going to get better. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. But that gives us joy as parents. That gives your pastor joy. People, I do funerals for people, and did one the other day right here. And people thank me and thank me and thank me and thank me. And I said, don't thank me, thank him. All good gifts come from the Father above. And they don't understand how much joy it gives me to comfort them. Yes. See, amen. I had a preacher tell me, I preached one of his church members' funeral. And he was there. And I said, you don't want to do this? He said, no, you do it so much better than I do. And I thought to myself, that's simply because you don't know what's going on. If you knew how good it was, you'd do it yourself. Amen? I enjoy it. And I always tell people, I'd rather bury you than marry you anyway. You can't mess up a burial. Once you're in the ground, there ain't no papers to be signed to get out. Amen? There ain't but one judge going to let you out of that contract. Amen? What do you, Brother Tony? I ain't never seen an annulment on a funeral or a divorce in a graveyard. Amen. I get joy. I'm serious. I like preaching funerals. I hate weddings. I'll be honest with you. Too much pomp and circumstance. I just hate weddings, but I love a funeral. Amen. Amen. Because God gets joy out of comforting those people. And I get joy out of Him using me to comfort people. Amen. And look at Numbers 14:8. Numbers 14:8. We're going pretty quick tonight. Numbers 14:8. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Now, I know that's Israel talking about their inheritance, but did you know that God delights in giving us an inheritance? God gets joy out of giving us inheritance. What do you mean, preacher? That we inherit something. That we inherit something. Now, I come from nowhere, and I'd be going nowhere if it wasn't for Him. All right? But I've got inheritance. Now, I had some rich cousin pass away, and they tell me I'm on a list to get some of his money. I hadn't seen it yet, Brother Tony. But somebody sent me a letter saying I could borrow money off of that money. And I threw that in trash, of course. By the way, how did they know I had an inheritance? I don't know. But that's not the inheritance I'm looking for. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Amen. Amen. And did you know on the new heaven and the new earth, He's going to let me rule with Him? That's my inheritance. I'm going to go from being the bottom to the top one day. Amen. And He's going to let us rule and reign with Him. And did you know that's not hard for Him? He gets joy out of doing that. Promising you an inheritance is a joy to Him. You say, well, preacher, I'm going to heaven, but I just don't think I belong there. Shut your mouth. He's giving you an inheritance. It's yours. That's right. Mate, hey, you don't deserve it. Nobody does. But you belong there. Amen? Amen. Now, listen, my daughter Suzanne, now y'all know I don't know who my father is, so on my family tree, there's just one side. There's no limbs on the other side. There's no roots on the other side. So my daughter Suzanne went and bought me one of those DNA, what do you call that thing? Legacy, they call it, your ancestry. Brother Tony, you get some DNA and you put in this little tube and you send it in the mail and they'll look up your, I think the Mormon church is involved in it, they'll look up your ancestry and they'll figure out where you come from. And then they'll send you this letter. And then, if you pay a little extra, they send you a list of who you're related to. Have you done this, brother? You haven't done it? Don't do it. We're scared for you to do it. But, yeah, everybody on yours is going to be waving a rebel flag, I'm sure. And but that kind of scares me. I mean, I don't know my father. I don't know where he came from. And he left me nothing. He left me nothing but a blank. But I'm going to tell you, I got a Heavenly Father that He's promised me an inheritance. Amen? Amen. The man I'm named after died at 45 years old, drank himself to death. Drank himself to death. I got nothing there. Amen. My poor old mama, she never owned anything. Got nothing there. But I've got news for you. I'm going to inherit some things from my Heavenly Father. And listen, He's not doing it out of obligation. He's doing it out of love, and it gives Him joy to let me have an inheritance. So don't you ever look at me and say, well, I'm just poor old fella. I ain't got nothing. I ain't nobody. Shut your mouth. You're a child of the King. You're going to inherit everything Jesus does. We're joint heirs with Christ. Amen. Boy, I'm about to jump pew on that one. Hey, it gives Him joy to give us an inheritance. I like that. Now, I don't have much. I won't have much to leave my children. But whatever I have belongs to the Lord. But everything He has belongs to me. If anybody says, well, who's your father? Say, oh, my father owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. They'll say, your father must be rich. And he'll say, yeah, he owns the cattle, the hills that the cattle are on. Amen? He owns the diamond mine and the coal mine and the oil well and the gas well. He owns it all. Amen? And guess what? I'm getting it. And I ain't a Trump either, bless God. I'm getting it all. I'm going to make Trump look like a pauper. Amen. Amen. 1 Kings. You liked that, didn't you? I knew you would. I knew you would. Turn over to 1 Kings with me, if you will. And now you listen to me. Listen. Don't you ever belittle yourself and think little of yourself, because you're somebody. You are. 1 Kings chapter 10. That's what it is. 1 Kings chapter 10. I think it's verse 9. Let me get over there. 1 Kings chapter 10. You still with me? You probably found 1 Kings chapter 10 quicker than I did. 1 Kings chapter 10. There it is. Verse 9. Blessed be the Lord thy God. Which what? Help me, class. Say it out loud. Which what? Delighteth in thee to set thee on the what? Throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. Now I know that's not talking about me and you. Solomon and David is in that kingship. But you know what? We're still kings and queens. And did you know in God's eyes that one day he is using them for an example? They're our example. If Paul said all the things that happened in the Old Testament are for our example, then is that not an example too?
That's right.
He's going to put us on thrones. We're going to serve with him. We're going to live with him forever and ever. And when he looks at us, he does not look at little poor people anymore. When I look at my children, I don't see me when I was little. I'd cry if I did. When I look at my children, I see rich people. Yeah. Now, compared to the world, we may not be rich, but from where I come from, they're rich. And my grandchildren's even more rich. And I told them, as long as I'm living, you'll never have to want for something. I'll take care of you if your old sorry parents won't. I'll do it for you. Amen. But I'll tell you this, Brother Danny, compared to where we come from, they're kings. And listen, we're going to be kings too. If everything's for our example, in Luke chapter 15, verse 23, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Now, there's the prodigal son. And look, this story, he started off a child of the king and ended up in a pig pen. And in the end of the story, he turns out to be a king's kid again. Amen? He belongs to a rich man. And the rich man said, go kill the fatted calf. He ain't eating no pork chops. We eating steak tonight. He ain't eating corn out of the trough. We eating the real stuff. Amen. No more corn cobs to gnaw on for him. Bring that finger. Bring that ring for his finger. Bring that robe for his back. Put some shoes on his feet. We having a party tonight. My son is home. Now, that father got joy out of setting his son up again. They done spent his inheritance, but he said, hey, I don't care. My son's back. He was dead, now he's alive. He was lost, he was found, and he's back, and I'm going to give him everything I've got. You say, Pastor, I've been a pretty sorry Christian. Amen? Preacher, if you could fail the Lord, I've failed him. Amen. Preacher, if you could let him down, I have. Amen. We all have. Amen. But I've got news for you, and I've said it before over and over, and I know you get tired of hearing it, but when he saved you, he had no expectations. You see, it ain't like you got saved and then you failed him, and he didn't know before the foundation of the world was ever laid that you was going to fail him that day. When he saved you, Brother Tony, he knew your failures in the future as well as the past. And he saved you anyway. And he keeps you anyway. He had no expectation of you being the best guy in town. He knew what you were made out of. He knew what you was going to do 10, 15, 20 years later, Brother Jimmy. He already knew it. We didn't even know it, but he knew it. And he loved us anyway. And it delighted him because he knew when we fell, we'd get back up and come back home every time. Amen. Every time you went back home. That's the proof that you're real anyway. Amen. If you fall, you get back up and you go back home. Amen. You get out of God's will, you get back in it. Amen. You fall out of God's love, you jump right back in it. Come on, help me. And see, that gives God delight. And there's perfect examples all through the Old Testament. Take David. Is he not a good example of that? Amen. If he didn't know what he was going to do in the future, my goodness, he wouldn't have been much of a God. He knew what he'd do when he set him on that throne. And he knew what you'd do when he set you on your throne too. But thank God, he had no expectations. Unconditional salvation.
Amen.
Unconditional. Amen. He never did say, I will if you will. He just said, I will.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I like that.
Yeah.
Hey, that marriage was one-sided. I didn't even have to say, I do. He said, I will. All I had to do was hold on. Amen. Just grab him and say, okay. You know. But the point being, God delights, gets joy out of you as a believer. You say, well, I don't do anything for him. Well, you repented, didn't you? Gave him joy. You believed on him, didn't you? Gave him joy. You committed to him, didn't you? Maybe you got baptized, joined church, gave him joy. You started trying to live for him. I didn't say you lived for him. I said you tried to live for him. That gave him joy. Amen. And now every time he looks at you, he doesn't look as a fallen alien or a rebel or a prodigal. Now he looks at somebody in his perfect will that he wants to bless. He wants to bless you because he gets joy out of you. Now me and you, we'll look around and we'll say, she don't deserve it. And he'll say, I know it. That's why I get joy out of it. And we'll look around and say, well, he sure don't deserve that. And God will say, I know it, but that ain't none of your business. It gives me joy to give him that.
Amen.
Come on.
Yes.
And when people, you go to work and people say, you ain't much of a Christian, say, I know it, but God loves me. That lady one time told me, she said, you ain't much of a preacher. I heard about you. You ain't much of a preacher. I said, you're right. You're absolutely right. I'm not. Pray for me. Pray for me. She didn't know what to say then. Amen. But God gets joy out of me.
Yes. Amen.
The joy of the Lord is our strength. But it's his blessing.
Yes.
On himself. Only God can bless himself. Nobody else is great enough to bless God. And that's how he chose to bless himself, is through you.
Amen.
I like that. Amen. I hope tonight that helped you. I hope it kind of encouraged you a little bit. Amen. I know Christmas, even though it's Christmas, there's a strain on us at Christmas. Because everybody expects us to be the Christ person there, wherever we are. And we don't always feel like the Christ person at those Christmas things. But God looks down and says, I love you. You're giving me joy being there. You give me joy being a testimony there. I know you're going through a hard time, but I have joy. I'm fixing to fix that, and I'm going to get joy out of bringing you through that. I know you need a car, but I'm going to get you one. And I'm going to get joy when you get it. Brother Tony, you can say amen right there. I remember one time Tony pulled up my house, opened the hood, and there was oil dropping off of every inch of that under that hood. Oh, you remember that, Tony? Oil just dripping off. It'd blow up on that hood, and it'd just drip off. The Lord gave him something else. Amen. The Lord gave him that, and he couldn't complain about that one because the Lord gave it to him. Amen. All right. Well, let's give the Lord some joy this week. You want to?
Yes.
If you're not saved, you give him some by getting saved. Turn into him. Repent. Get born again. And if you are saved, you give him joy by living for him. And if you can't live for him, then you give him joy by admitting and confessing and asking him to forgive you. Okay? Let's stand. Father.